Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
160 New York City congregations now have to find new places to pray. The Supreme Court this week decided not to review a lower court ruling that said the New York City Department of Education cannot lease space in off hours to churches for worship services. That had always been against the department rules, leasing to churches, but they had been forced to allow worship services by earlier court rulings after a Bronx congregation first sued in 1994. I'm joined now by City Council member and minister Fernando Cabrera, who represents the district where that original Bronx court case took place or originated, and by Pastor Matt Brown, pastor of the Park Slope Presbyterian Church, one of the 160 churches meeting in a public school this year. Theirs is the cafeteria at John Jay High School on 7th Avenue. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Dr. Cabrera, what can you tell us about the Bronx Household of Faith, the church that sued to meet in public schools?
Well, they actually, in my district, where I'm a council member, and it's a church that they're in a building construction situation, and so they were forced to rent a public school. The situation is that, as you stated, we have many houses of worship that currently need to be in a public school. Some of them, for example, Love Gospel Assembly, their church went on fire last year. And
let me interrupt for just a second, because
sure. You've
said twice now these churches need to be in a public school. They need to be somewhere, but they don't necessarily need to be in a public school, do they?
That's correct, but look at the situation, Brian. Right now we're in a recession. The average house of worship had lost 30% of their income. They're in a situation right now where they're often called to provide services to the community, to volunteer, to help the community. And now that they're finding themselves in a time of need or a time where a transition, they're being told that they cannot use the public schools for worship, and that's the operative word, is worship. They're allowed to have Bible studies. They're allowed to have prayer. But I would say, who is the government to define what worship is? The government should never be in a position to define what worship is. That's really the battle. The battle here comes down to who's going to get to define what worship is, because the U.S. Supreme Court already, through five cases, said that they're allowed to have prayer meetings, they're allowed to have Bible studies, and now they're told that
they cannot have. And you're right, that's the distinction now, after the Supreme Court refused to take this case, that stands. They can use public school buildings for Bible study, such as in an after-school Bible study club among the students, but now they cannot, and it's final because it's from the Supreme Court, they cannot use public school buildings for worship services. And listeners, we're going to open up the phones on this, and obviously everybody will have your opinions about if the Supreme Court did the right thing, but what does the final decision mean for your congregation if you happen to be in one of these 160 New York churches? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Anybody with one of these congregations directly affected, want to give us a call? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as I said, also with us is Pastor Matt Brown of the Park Slope Presbyterian Church, one of those churches meeting in a public school building. There's is the cafeteria at the John Jay High School on 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. Pastor Brown, tell us about your church and why you meet at John Jay.
Brian, we're a younger congregation. We started about 7 years ago, and we meet at John Jay for some of the reasons that have been talked about already. We meet there because we needed a place to worship when we first started our services. That we had a lot of opportunities to rent other facilities, other churches in the neighborhood, but we actually wanted to rent John Jay High School because we thought we could develop a good relationship with the school itself and be of service to our neighbors.
You'd rather worship in a high school cafeteria than in another church?
Well, we would much rather own our own building. I could be very clear about that, but we had a lot of opportunity to serve in the neighborhood, and our church is very focused on trying to be good neighbors here in Park Slope. And one of the ways that we are able to do that is by worshiping at John Jay. Why not, in our mind, why not have John Jay receive our rent money? We thought that was a fine thing for the school to do.
When have you been in the school? Only on Sunday mornings or other times as well?
Well, on Sunday mornings, we were there from about our services are 10:30 to noon, but we're in the building at about 9 o'clock, and we leave probably about 1 o'clock. In addition, we have rented the entire school, the gyms and the pools in the past for gym and swim, and opened that up to our whole neighborhood.
Are there signs up about the church during the school week?
No, not at all. And that's one of the interesting things. The school has permanent signs out in front for things like Camp Olympia, which is a great organization which teaches kids how to swim, and it's a sports camp for kids. And those signs are hung permanently outside the school, but we only put up a sandwich board on Sunday mornings.
What are you going to do now?
That's a great question. We're trying to figure that out ourselves. We have good relationships with a lot of other organizations and churches in the neighborhood, and so we've been talking to them, and I think that we'll probably find other worship space. It may not be on a Sunday morning. We might possibly have to move our services to later in the afternoon.
Dr. Cabrera, and again, our other guest is city councilman and minister and reverend doctor, I guess, Fernando Cabrera, who represents the district where the original court case originated from a Bronx house of worship, as well as Pastor Brown, who was just speaking. And Dr. Cabrera, the Constitution separates church and state. The court said that having a worship service in the school could confuse children, especially. This was the lower court ruling that has now been made permanent because the Supreme Court is not taking the case. They said that having a worship service in the school could confuse children especially into thinking the school and the city somehow endorse that church. I gather you're proposing legislation that you hope will address this situation and let the church somehow go back into the school building. How could legislation address that court interpretation?
Definitely, Brian. Oh, the educational law 414 is really at the epicenter of the issue here. And so we're seeking to reverse, to change educational law 414. We already have Assemblyman Nelson Castro and Senator Minority Leader Sampson, who's going to be introducing it in the near future. So far, every senator, every assemblyman that I have spoken to, and every council member, as I'm going to introduce a resolution this Thursday, is on board because they feel that houses of worship of any kind of faith are being discriminated. Some of the issues that you just mentioned right now are unsubstantiated. I mean, the houses of worship have been in the New York City public schools for the last 13 years because it's been in the courts. And none of those suggestions have occurred. Nobody could even bring up one case that will support what is, you know, the suggestions that are being proposed, that the children could be affected and so forth. So, you know, history is in our side, and the legislators are going to be in our side. And so I'm looking forward before February the 12th for legislators to side on the side of the people who have been there for them and for the community.
Travis and Glen Oaks, you're on WNYC. Hello, Travis.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Thank you for calling. I'm doing great.
I was just saying I understand that there are certain space constrictions and certain congregations don't have their own building or own house of worship. But as a Roman Catholic, part of what the upbringing is the church is not necessarily a building. It's the community of the people within the church itself. I know certain churches hold meetings for non-denominational groups like Alcoholics Anonymous. Why is it an issue that it couldn't be held in a church cafeteria, not necessarily in the...
A school cafeteria?
Not necessarily in a school cafeteria, a denominational of not necessarily the same denomination, but in a cafeteria, because it is my understanding that most religions practice acceptance of other religions and helping others. And in a situation like this, why couldn't it just be done in a church? It does allow for certain, it looks as if the public schools are endorsing a certain religious group if they have a service of a certain denomination there every Sunday. There are after-school public school programs, the Beacon program being one of them, for sports. And if you have that mix, it could seem as if the public schools are endorsing a certain religion.
Travis, thank you for your call. He raises, Pastor Brown, the perceived barrier that you couldn't hold your worship service on the facilities of another religious institution. Do you think that's a barrier? Do you think other... You're with a Presbyterian church. Do you think other non-Presbyterian Christian churches would have any reluctance to rent to you because you're not the same denomination?
I would say a couple things to that. I have not experienced that personally in our neighborhood. We have great relationships with many other churches, Reformed churches, Baptist churches, Roman Catholic churches, and we have combined services. They've allowed us to use their space on a number of occasions. Two, the prior issue as to whether or not children or families or neighborhood people can get confused with a church renting out a school property, I don't see how that's possible, and it seems a little bit insulting to my neighbors. We have a number of schools here in Park Slope, and they use their facilities for a lot of things. PS 321, where my children attend, they have a flea market every single weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. My children are not confused that the flea market is run by the school. I don't think anyone in our neighborhood believes that PS 321 endorses antique furniture.
Well, how do you know a seven-year-old doesn't think that? How do you know a seven-year-old doesn't think that this is like a bake sale for the school, or walks by on Sunday mornings and thinks, oh, this is the school's church?
Well, I think if that's true, Brian, I think it is our job as parents and neighbors to try to inform and instruct our kids. I certainly don't think that we should be legislating according to what seven-year-olds think.
Enid in Madison, you're on WNYC. Enid, thank you for calling.
Sure, no problem. As an atheist, I certainly don't have a problem with the ruling, but I am a little bit confused as to why the issue of us voting in churches is not being addressed, because I have no interest in them coming into the public schools to pray, and I have no interest in going to a church to vote.
Thank you very much. Well, Councilman Cabrera, does that happen? Are some of the polling places in churches?
I'm not aware of any polling place that are taking place in any church.
I don't know of it myself either.
I think she's probably misinformed, unfortunately. But to get back to something that the pastor just mentioned, it's really important. Look, if the Nazi Party, if the KKK wanted to rent a school, they could. And so the suggestion that the children would get confused, you could make the argument for any group that rent the school that the children would get confused. The fact of the matter is, most children don't know what's taking place during the weekend, and the public schools, they're too busy having fun and playing around in their neighborhood. They don't want to be thinking about school in the weekend, and so I don't think that crossbreed is taking place.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Kids have all kinds of thoughts when they see all kinds of things. But John and Roslyn, you're on WNYC. Hello. John.
Yes, hello, hi. I want to ask the pastors if they would endorse a mosque if they wanted to worship in a public school, considering all the hoopla that they had about the World Trade Center mosque in just recent history.
Right. There's been such community opposition to locating mosques in various places around the city. Councilman, do you know if any of the 160 religious organizations that now need to leave the public schools under this ruling are anything other than Christian?
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, we have in Brightlanders district, we have a Jewish synagogue that I know for sure. We have Muslim congregations gathering. This is affecting everyone. This is not about churches. This is about houses of worship. So it's affecting everyone. And they're also going to become homeless February 12th if we don't change the law.
You could imagine, though, Pastor Brown, how the community view of this might be different if, let's say, that it was mosques that disproportionately had the money problems, and so they became the majority of the 160 religious organizations that held worship services in public schools. I have a feeling there'd be a whole different kind of community reaction to this around the city, don't you?
Well, that may be the case. I can't really speak to that hypothetical. I do agree with Councilman Cabrera that there are a number of organizations that are renting public schools across the city. Jewish synagogues rent them for High Holy Days. We actually shared John Jay High School with a Buddhist worshiping community for quite some time, and they were meeting on Sunday mornings.
And so they'll have to leave, too, now.
They will have to leave as well.
How much rent did you pay the school? How did that work? Did you pay it to the City Department of Education or to the school itself for its use?
Yeah, we paid a fixed amount every week to the Board of Ed, and the Board of Ed has a fixed rate. And from what I understand, and somebody else from the Board of Ed could correct me, I think the Board of Ed takes a significant portion of that money, and then the remainder of the money goes to the school itself, to the custodial fees. But I would also say that, you know, a significant portion of our rent, total rent money, went to janitorial fees and to hiring agents to guard the school, which is required by the Board of Ed as well.
How much was your rent?
It was roughly, I think we're paying about $800 a week.
And do you happen to know if that's the same as other community groups that might rent space from the schools were paying, or did you get a preferential rate?
I can assure you that we didn't get any preferential rate because we were paying very similar rates when we rented the school for what we called our gym and swim nights.
Councilman Cabrera, anything on that?
No, he's correct. There's a standard fee that is, it's charged of everyone. Preferential rates are given to no one, not even elected officials.
And you would take it if you could get it, right? So what
not.
Do you think, Councilman Cabrera, as we run out of time here, that the upshot is going to be? Pastor Brown said they may need to rent space from a church and hold their worship services on Sunday afternoon instead of Sunday morning. I've heard of some cases where they may have to move off Sunday altogether because, you know, that's when some affordable church space will be available for them to rent. What do you think is going to happen in the big picture to these 160 congregations?
Well, first of all, Brian, as we close, I want to thank you for holding this topic discussion. But I believe at the end of the day, before February 12th, we will have legislation that would allow houses of worship to meet in public spaces such as public schools.
And just tell me one more time, then, how would legislation get around this decision, which has now been enshrined by the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court only takes about 80 cases, so they gave a careful consideration. But I think the Supreme Court is basically saying, look, we already said prayer is allowed, holding Bible studies allowed, and we have thousands of other cases that are being presented before us. They gave it a second consideration last Friday.
I see. And it's New York law that really prohibits this. There hasn't been a constitutional interpretation per se, so you would try to change New York law to word it in a different way that would allow the churches to do the same thing?
Yes. The New York
but can't pass constitutional muster?
Yes, because it's not Most states allow for this. We're the anomaly. We're the exception. Most states allow for houses of worship. Most people in other states are shocked that we don't allow this in New York City, and in New York State. So we're the anomaly. And so this is the norm across the nation. And so we know that it is, you know, it will hold. And I'm looking forward that if anyone challenges the Supreme Court eventually, after it becomes law, that it will hold.
Thank you very much, City Council Member and Minister Fernando Cabrera and Pastor Matt Brown from the Park Slope Presbyterian Church, which will now have to move out of the John Jay High School cafeteria by the 12th of February. Thank you both, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come this hour, we will be talking with a Rutgers history professor who has written a book called Against Thrift, Why Consumer Culture is Good for the Economy, the Environment, and Your Soul. And then we will look at the humbling discoveries this week of a planet kind of like ours and the biggest black holes ever found that devour whole solar systems. And we're looking for a name for this planet that's a little bit like Earth. If you want to post any suggestions to WNYC.org, just click on Brian Lehrer Show. They've given it a technical name for the moment. But if this planet is really our sibling out there in another solar system, a little bit like ours, with the possibility that there's life somewhat like ours out there, we have no idea, then what would you call this planet? Let's give this planet a name. We don't know what they might call it, but what would you call it? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show.